It was Christmas Eve in the fine new house Brad and Lisa Jennings had built for their family. Lisa had no idea that Brad had bought her a $3,500 diamond ring, got the kids to help him pick it out. Brad waited for his chance to hide it in her stocking. But Lisa was sitting up, drinking wine, and crying. Meaning, well, who knew?
I open the door and I see her laying there and my dad is kneeling next to her.
Their mother was dead. Of that there was no doubt. But how, and why, and who?
I love me some Keith Morrison from Dateline NBC. How are you, sir?
Welcome back.
With a lead-in like that, how can I be anything?
Exactly.
No, no pressure. No pressure.
Well, we talk about you a lot because there's a way that you, when you do Dateline, man, your delivery, when you do the voice and the interviews, it's just, you know, it's very likable. It's very good at what you do.
What do you mean by that?
And what about the cousin?
Well, and for the rotation on Dateline Friday nights, you do what, every third or fourth week? I come for Keith, but I stay for Andrea and Josh. I'm big fans of theirs now as well.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Glad
and
to hear that.
Yeah, she's terrific. Now, this Friday, tomorrow night, we have a crack in everything. Brad buys a diamond ring, and then you take it from there.
Well, yes. Now, this is it's a sad story, as many of these stories are.
Right.
The question here is, what happened in a very short period of time, late on Christmas Eve or early Christmas morning, between, the time that somebody was trying to get a diamond ring into a stocking.
Right.
And the time somebody else came in the morning to see what happened.
Yeah,
And that's a puzzling thing. You wouldn't think that a short period of time could present so many opportunities for good or evil to have occurred.
What happened?
And then what happens after that, of course, is...
We'll have to watch. Every morning we come in and we see the AP wires and we see these stories, and there's just so many horrible things. What is it that Dateline, what makes... Dateline say this one will work for us? Is it the mystery aspect
or how long the case has been unsolved?
Yeah,
I wish I knew.
Yeah,
no, it's you look at every story and some of them are just we do an hour or we do 2 hours. It's
right.
Going to be one or the other, and if you do a program that's an hour long, you need to have enough mystery to last over the hour. So it has to be a fairly complex story. And people have to be prepared to talk to you, too. Sometimes people just don't want to talk.
Yeah.
I don't blame them. I don't try to make people talk if they don't want to. That's for sure.
You know, Keith, have you ever had a situation over the years, and obviously when you're trying to do an investigation and tell the story of a murder, you got to talk to cops or detectives. Have you ever found a time where you're doing a story and maybe the cop feels, all right, here's Keith Morrison. They're probably going to solve this murder because he's very, very good, but I don't want to help him because I'm going to be embarrassed by this entire thing.
Are they threatened?
You know, generally speaking, if we're doing a story, and you will find that the story this Friday involves a police department that, for some reason, seems absent on our program. We certainly wanted to talk to them and tried every which way to do so. But for reasons which may become apparent in the program, they elected not to take part.
Okay.
You'll see why.
Okay, I gotcha.
From time to time. And you know, this, we sure do like to talk to everybody, but sometimes people are a little shy about what happened in the course of their work.
And we're talking with Keith Morrison and a new episode, 10 o'clock on NBC Friday nights, of course. But the good thing and a beautiful thing about Dateline, they show really well in repeats because you try to catch them all, but there's always one.
There's always one that I didn't see that one.
Which brings me to ID Go. Because they run all the old Datelines, and you just had another 2-hour special on Dateline Go, or ID Go, but now we can get
on
that
ID,
online.
Right. That was an original investigation discovery program. We worked on that one for quite a long time, actually, and are still following it, but it's a fascinating story.
It's about a con man, right?
Yeah, they get 40 years, you know, of one man's lies.
Well, we called it "Who is Donnie Rudd?" because even after all the investigations over all the years, to find somebody who could say, who could give you the answer to the question "Who is Donnie Rudd?" was no easy task. This is a very strange story.
You know, it's funny, Keith.
They'll play it again, okay. I'm sure.
I was going to say, when I do dishes at my house, my wife says, "Who are you, Scott Torgerson?" So it's kind of, you know, yeah.
All I know is my husband gets a little bit freaked out because I do love watching murder porn, as we call it. He goes, "Why are you keep watching these things about how to kill your husband?"
Yeah, my wife always comes in and goes, "It's the husband. What do you bother? Why bother?"
Hey, Keith, this is kind of an interesting question, and I don't know if you can answer it about Dateline. Obviously, you saw Making of a Murderer on Netflix. And listen, I'll give credit. It was so well done where a group of people actually think he's innocent. Now, realistically, we've interviewed the DA. You know he's guilty as hell. But the way they made the documentary is you have sympathy and think he got away.
You can slant it.
Yes, you could slant it. Now, I'm not going to say Dateline. When it comes to your approach to do it, how much do you guys slant it to keep the story interesting?
Well, you know, with regard to Making of a Murderer, I don't know. I didn't. Dateline did a version of that story a couple of times, and one of them was about Brenda Dassey, and the question of false confession. I think that was probably established.
Absolutely there.
As for the rest of the story, I just don't know. But the one thing that we pride ourselves on at Dateline, and I hope correctly, is that we try very, very hard not to slant anything. I mean, we're just there to listen to everybody and to tell the story as we understand the truth to be from talking to as many people as possible. Everybody gets a shot. We want to hear from everyone because there's no percentage in slanting a story. It doesn't help us. You know, you destroy your credibility pretty quickly if you start doing biased stories. So we don't. We just don't. Some people who, and I'll just say that some people who take a different view of a story because everybody's got a different opinion about things that happen. But if you take the weight of everything you learn and come right down the middle, you're not going to please everybody. But hopefully, you're going to present a story which is as accurate as humanly possible.
Well, it's fascinating television. I got to ask you, are you wearing your Chuck Taylors right now?
As a matter of fact, I am.
But there's no art support in those shoes.
Have you heard Bill Hader's impression of you? You must have heard that, right?
Of course. Yeah.
You're an icon, sir. Hey, Keith, thank you so much.
Thanks,
we'll be
Keith.
Watching
we'll
tomorrow
be watching.
Night.
Great. Thank you so much.
Great
thanks
interview.
So much,
bye-bye.
Keith.
Bye-bye.